And welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're going to dig deeper now into a national issue that's touched a nerve in Massachusetts. As you've probably heard, Governor Deval Patrick has offered temporary housing to approximately 1,000 Central American unaccompanied immigrant children who've recently crossed the border and are currently in federal custody. The governor pointed to Westover Air Reserve Base in Chicopee and Camp Edwards in Bourne as possible sites. However, Patrick said on Friday that no decision would be made without a public engagement process.
When and if the federal government decides they want to use Westover, there'd be plenty of time to engage.
But that wasn't enough to appease protesters. 100 people rallied against Patrick's proposal outside of Westover Air Base, and approximately 1,000 protesters gathered at the State House this weekend as well. Now, the issue falls squarely in the nexus of three strong currents in American life: practical considerations about money, political conflicts, and deeper philosophical considerations about how, when, and to whom America extends its helping hand. So we want to hear from you today about this. What do you think of the governor's plan to offer temporary housing to these children? Do you think it's the right idea or the wrong idea? Do you think the money could be better spent? And what does it mean that there's even a controversy about this in Massachusetts? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Now, in a moment, we'll talk with one of the state's most prominent immigrants' rights groups. But first, let's turn to Bourne, Massachusetts. Earlier today, I spoke with Bourne Selectman Jerry Ellis. He opposes bringing the children to Camp Edwards, and he talked to us about why, beginning with those practical considerations we mentioned. Specifically, he says the federal government still owes the town of Bourne more than $1 million when the victims of Hurricane Katrina were given shelter there in 2005.
The problem that we have in the town of Bourne is finances. We're pretty well financial strapped. The school system has a great deal of difficulties. We have no room in our schools. We've been told that they will not be used in our schools, but we've been told that before. The problem we have is if we're going to have this influx of people, we don't have the facilities to handle them. Number one, we only have one Spanish teaching teacher in the whole system. The other problem I have is being a veteran. We have thousands of homeless veterans who should be cared for first. They have no roof over their heads and where to get their next meal, etc. So I'm very concerned about them.
Yeah. Let's take the concerns that you have one by one, if we could, briefly. Sure. I mean, first and foremost, Governor Patrick and the federal government have said that ultimately the federal government will foot the bill for this if the children are housed at Camp Edwards. It sounds like from previous experience you don't find any assurance in what they're telling you right now.
That's exactly correct. And it's sad because I'm come from people that came in the Mayflower and long line of people who fought at Lexington, Concord, etc. And I just find that right now I really can't believe in the federal government going to reimburse us, because it's going to be this way in a great number of states, of those states that are willing to take these children. And it's not going to be something that's going to be easy to handle, because they're going to have to take a section of Camp Edwards dormitories and turn them into further units for the children in a place to feed them. And I was revolted when I heard that they were going to put fences around them. That shouldn't be the way children are treated. Mm. I'm very concerned about the parents out there and the children that live on the base themselves, that they should not be an intermix until sometime in the future when everything can be assured that medically everything is correct and that they are going to be sent back. I'm not sure that they are.
Well, that brings me to the second point that you were making, because you said a little bit earlier that the status and the family histories and the claims of each of these children aren't yet known. But isn't that part of the process that they're all undergoing through federal immigration authorities? And for that process to take place in a just way, it's going to take some time. And while those kids are essentially in what's essentially a legal limbo, they've got to be put somewhere. They have to be given shelter of some kind.
Sure.
So why not someplace like Camp Edwards that did serve as shelter for survivors of Hurricane Katrina?
That's right. Well, wouldn't it be better to have them closer to the border, like down at Fort Sill in Oklahoma, and in the area of Texas, so that if they were to be returned, they wouldn't have this traumatic upbringing to have to send them all the way back again. Remember, that's more probably 2,500 miles or more from the southern Texas border to bring them up here. And it's a whole new world for them. And why not keep them in an area that's closer to the border, where if they have to be exchanged and go back, it will be less of an impact on them. And they're probably a more Spanish-speaking people that can be drawn from that area than they can from around here.
Mm. And, Mr. Ellis, you also mentioned your concern, if I hear you correctly, that essentially you don't think this is money well spent, because, as you were saying earlier, that there are veterans, et cetera, in need of services who may not be getting them. You know, I would suppose that Governor Patrick and others on the other side of this equation might say, yes, but on the other hand, you know, in the United States, one of the things that we do is when people do cross the border in uncertain immigrant status, we give them the benefit of the doubt. We try to figure out what's going on. And, you know, their stories may become part of the greater American story as potential immigrants. And that's also part of what this country does.
That's true. But I think that one of the sad stories is to go up to the great city of Lowell and look at the problems that they have up there. And I'm not one to say to look down my nose at them, because we're all immigrants. The bottom line is, though, that I'm concerned about the veterans that are out there. First and foremost, because this $3 billion that the government wants to spend on these illegal aliens would certainly be better spent in care of our veterans who paid the price for our freedom so that you and I could have this discussion.
Mm. And finally, Mr. Ellis, I mean, as you know, this whole issue has really touched a nerve amongst many, many people, not just here in Massachusetts, but obviously all over the country.
Yes, it has.
You know, what's been the reaction that you've been getting to the stance and the opinion that you have on the matter?
It's very, very interesting. I'm kind of known as the gunslinger on the board. I protect the blue-collar worker as much as I can. And that's the reason I ran for selectman. But unfortunately, this stand that I took, I gave it a lot of serious thought. I've received an enormous number of emails and telephone calls, and I did not know that many Christians could say such nasty language that they can. So I just feel that it's unfortunate that people take this stand and can't have a legitimate discussion about it without going off the edge and calling nasty names and et cetera. So I've got it's probably 10-1 support for my position. So that's where I am.
Jerry Ellis is a selectman from Bourne. We spoke with him earlier today. Well, joining us now is Sarang Sekhavat. He's federal policy director for the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, or MIRA. He's with us in the studio. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Paul Pronovo. He's editor-in-chief of the Cape Cod Times. Paul, welcome back to the show to you.
Thanks for having me back.
So, Sarang, let's just start with you. First of all, Jerry Ellis walked us through a number of concerns that he has about bringing some of these children, to Camp Edwards. Let's start with the primary one that he began with, and that's just the sheer cost that he says his community can't bear the cost of hosting these kids. What's your response to that?
Well, the response is, as the administration said, as the governor said, that these are costs that will be borne by the federal government. This is immigration. It is a federal issue. And so for him to be concerned, I understand the concerns about the taxing local resources. But if in this situation, it's just not a valid concern.
Is it not a valid concern? Because, you know, he's looking at what he says is money that's still owed to Bourne from housing evacuees from Hurricane Katrina. And now even in this current debate, President Obama has asked for, what, $3.7 billion? It doesn't seem as if Congress is in any mood to give it to him. So,
well, this points out to really what the real problem has been. It's, you know, people talk about this as being a crisis on the border. It's really not. This is a crisis in Washington. We've known that these kids are coming. We've known for a while. There have been a lot of efforts to provide for these children. Right now, the federal government's already having to take $100 million from refugee resettlement in order to try and help out these kids. So this is something Washington can and really should be dealing with.
Mm. And Paul Pronovo, editor-in-chief of the Cape Cod Times, I mean, how representative was what Jerry Ellis was telling us of the feeling in Bourne and in surrounding communities there on the Cape?
Well, certainly it does represent an opinion that is shared by many people on the Cape. in the surrounding communities and probably beyond. The meeting that they had last week in Bourne certainly was reflective of some people who were not only dissatisfied with the lack of information they've received, but just not happy at all with the idea of this. On the other hand, and we've seen sort of a boomerang where you've had some people reacting saying, please don't send them here. You've had others saying, this is exactly the sort of thing the Cape Cod community believes in, and the faith community, for example, conducted a counter-protest last week saying that, you know what, we are willing to welcome them. And others have come forward and said, you know what, the Bourne Board of Selectmen do not represent us, meaning the entire community of the Cape. And in fact, there are many people here who would be more than happy to have them.
Interesting. Sarong, I think another issue that people have been bringing up over the past week or so is that there's this question of just how long these children would have to be in these temporary facilities, because on the one hand, there's still a giant question about how their cases are going to be handled by immigration authorities. And second of all, if it's an open-ended prospect, what, too, does that mean both for the kids and the communities where they'd be living?
Mm-hmm. So a couple of things involved in that. I mean, as you mentioned, we don't know what's going to happen with a lot of these kids. A number of them probably will be turned around fairly quickly. How many of those, it's really hard to tell at this point. In terms of the long-term care for these kids, the objective of ORR, Office for Refugee Resettlement, is to put these kids with foster families who will then be able to take on those responsibilities for taking care of these children.
Mm. Do we know what the conditions would be like, or actually, let me back up. Do we know what the conditions are like in some of the places where the kids currently are staying along the border?
The administration tries, I will give them that. They try very hard to put these kids in good situations. That said, there have been a lot of reports of abuse and harassment by border guards, by border patrol, by whatever facility is holding them.
Right. Because I'm wondering, would those conditions be, would they see any improvement if coming to Massachusetts to the two bases that Governor Patrick has pointed to? Would it be any better than where they are now?
Would it be any better? Probably not. The difference is just there isn't the space in these facilities down the border right now. So if it's a difference between packing them in like sardines in these facilities on the border and putting them up here, then certainly it would be better.
Yeah. Well, let's take a couple calls here. Lincoln is calling from Waltham. You're on the air, Lincoln.
Hi.
What's your thought today?
Pardon me?
What's your thought today?
They're kids. I mean, you don't, turn kids away when they're in trouble, when they're in a dangerous situation. We should do that first and then worry about what else we need to do. We should just try to take care of them.
Lincoln, thank you so much for your call. Let's turn now to Norton, where Jameson is calling from. You're on the air, Jameson.
Hi, Magna. Thanks. I'm calling because I wanted to say that whether it's the federal government that's paying or the state, it's still the taxpayer that's paying, and it's unsustainable. And I would argue that if we're going to take in any kids because their country can't handle them, then we should be proactively sending barges down to those countries and loading up any kid that's under the age of 18 for the sake of giving them a safer home in the United States. That's obviously unsustainable, so we need to know where to draw the line.
Mm. Jameson, thank you so much for your call. Paul Pronovo, out on the Cape, you see there's this broad range and so much uncertainty here. What do you make of what Sarong Sekovat was saying a little bit earlier, that perhaps the conditions that the kids might find themselves at Camp Edwards may not necessarily be better than where they are now? Is there any way to know what the facilities would be like?
Right. Well, I haven't been on the base in a number of years, and in fact, it went from being a pretty open campus, if you will, prior to September 11th, where you could literally, in fact, the base was a shortcut to get from one end of the Cape to the other. People would drive across the base. Then, of course, after September 11th, any military facility is really locked down. But I don't know if it would be an improvement. I will say that in 2005, when Hurricane Katrina refugees were coming, they did some work to retrofit the barracks where the people were coming to. They put in beds, had new mattresses and the like. I would imagine those facilities are still in relatively good shape since, frankly, they weren't used that much. And I'm sure that's why Camp Edwards is an attractive facility. It has barracks. It has sort of an infrastructure built for this, and it can be a contained unit where people don't come in and go out. That's a difference between now and Katrina. People were able to not just freely travel back and forth, but they weren't being detained. They were able to go back into the communities. And I think maybe that is some of what people remember. I don't think from what we're hearing that would be the case here.
Hmm. Sarang Sakhavat, there's a really deep philosophical, I don't want to say divide, but perhaps a set of differences that this issue has really brought up. And we heard it in part to the reaction to Governor Patrick's sort of invocation of even sort of a religious mandate for welcoming these children to Massachusetts. A lot of that really sort of... When it bothered a lot of people. And I'm wondering, you know, we heard Mr. Ellis from Bourne say a little bit earlier that he thinks, okay, well, if we're going to spend the money, that there are people already in the United States who are more deserving of that money to be spent on them. I mean, that seems to be getting really at the heart of one of the big differences here. And what do you say when people bring up that issue to you?
To me, really... it just goes back to what I said earlier about it's a crisis in Washington. Even the issue with...
But this crisis is going to be hitting home in Massachusetts, though.
But it already hits home in Massachusetts, even when you're talking about the veterans who aren't being cared for properly. There have been attempts in Congress to improve those conditions over the last few months, over the last few years. Nothing gets done. If we really want to fix these, you know, really want to take care of people, Congress needs to be taking the lead on that.
Okay, but I guess forgive me, but I'm going to push you a little bit here, because if we really want to take care of people, that's exactly what some folks are saying, that, okay, let us speak as a people and say, let's take care of, you know, as Jerry Ellis was telling us, of veterans first, before mm-hmm. we take care of children who have crossed the border with uncertain, you know, legal status.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think your caller had it right earlier, though. These are children. I'm not saying we should necessarily put them above the veterans, but I think we need to take care of both populations. These are kids who have seen some really horrific conditions. They've seen family members, classmates be murdered in really just the most violent situations. The three countries we're talking about, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, all rank in the top five internationally in terms of murder rate. So we know that these are really incredibly violent countries that these people are coming from. And if we want to give them a chance to live, which I think we have a moral obligation to do, it's right of us to be taking care of them, just as it's right of us to be taking care of those folks who fought for our country.
Mm. Paul Pronovo, we just got a couple seconds to go here. You know, a little earlier we mentioned that Governor Patrick said there would be a public process to all this if indeed it does happen. Is that good enough for the people in Bourne, or do they want certainty one way or the other that these kids are coming or not?
Well, I think transparency would certainly help. Part of the problem from the beginning was the rumors preceded the governor making any statement. And in fact, people last week thought that these children were already on the base. And it took a lot to tamp down that rumor. So the more transparency, the better. But it seems like, at least for some, if the answer is not no, have them go somewhere else, they won't be satisfied.
Paul Pronovo is editor-in-chief of the Cape Cod Times. Paul, thanks so much for joining us again today.
Thank you.
And Sarang Sakhavat, federal policy director for the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition. Great to have you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Listeners, stick with us. There's more of the show in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.